Welcome to the Talking Ink Seren Poetry Festival episodes.
I think the one thing about poetry that I like is that it does give you an idea of what someone's identity is or how they feel about themselves.
I'm Lucy Smith. In February 2020, I had the wonderful opportunity to interview 8 poets, both emerging and established voices, at the festival venue, the Temple of Peace in Cardiff. In this episode, I chat with Poppy Jennings, a writer and artist whose work has been published by Lucent Dreaming and Rigwelter Press. Poppy performed at this year's Seren Poetry Festival as part of a Lucent Dreaming showcase, with a live literary musical performance with Good Parley, aka musician Ollie Richards.
You can take from it what you need to, and then that's what that poem is to you, and that's all it needs to be.
We discuss the path she took to fall in love with poetry, the intimate moments that words can create between writer and reader, and the fact that poems can reveal hidden truths we didn't know about ourselves. Here's Poppy reading me one of her poems.
Ars Poetica. Nothing is fit for poetry if it does not please. Does not please whom? Because poetry is the smell of burning bread on the breeze that travels down the cobblestone streets of London. It is the rippling of the ocean when a gull dives for a fish that's swimming just beneath the surface. And it's recognising the beauty in a daisy tucked between the paving slabs of your garden path. But it's also the puncture in your heart when someone you love tells you they hate you. The dry, roaring groan that you thought would be a scream when someone tells you she's dead. And the gut-wrenching realisation that you can't actually find the courage to kill yourself. It's the emotion escaping the pleasure dome of Xanadu to fight the boundaries that language has constructed, and acknowledging the contradiction of the abolitionists who believe all lives matter within reason. It is one man's sanity disintegrating on the pages of his notebook in the confines of a bleak white room. Most of my poetry is influenced by mythology and folklore, usually female characters as well, and kind of rewriting stories that I guess people don't understand as much as the way they're written. So like the story of Medusa, and kind of seeing her as a villain when in reality she's more of a victim. Kind of folklore creatures that kind of living in Welsh landscapes and like the Yorkshire Dales and things like that. So a lot of nature and magical creatures. But I do also tend to write about kind of myself and understanding my own sense of identity, kind of, I guess, as a therapeutic process, really, writing poetry. That one in particular, Ars Poetica, was it was a prompt from a class when I was at university, and at the same time I was studying Wordsworth for another class, and this quote just really stood out to me, and I wanted to kind of write the whole poem around that quote and kind of what poetry means and what it is to different people.
Is that your beginning quote you're talking
about? Yeah, yeah. So that opening quote is from a letter that Wordsworth wrote to someone in response to criticism for his poetry, because this person didn't find any pleasure in Wordsworth's poetry. And he was saying, you know, poetry is basically, it's different for different people, and just because one person doesn't like it doesn't mean that there aren't a huge amount of people out there that don't enjoy it. So
I was gonna say, so in your poem you've sort of, you highlight these quite private, sometimes kind of strange moments, like things that feel quite intimate to a person when they're just noticing a daisy, things like this, all the sort of things that zoom in, and it almost makes it a communal feeling by writing it down in a way. Do you think about the reader when you write? Do you think that, do you feel you're reaching out to people as you write, or is it more of a personal thing?
I think both, in a way, because even though these are like little things that I've noticed and I've thought were beautiful, like sometimes just kind of sitting in a garden or out in a field somewhere and just seeing how beautiful the world is, I know that other people experience that as well, but maybe a lot of people don't give themselves the time to experience the world, and just noticing these little simple things. And like the part about the daisy, I think the amazing thing about daisies is that they bloom year round. There's never a time where they're not there. So it's just one of those things.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so it's like constantly connected to the earth, and I don't know, I just find them really peaceful. Like you look around and you see daisies everywhere, and it just, yeah, I think more people should probably kind of look and see and appreciate the nature around them, because it definitely ties people together, I think. Yeah.
Do you think there's something about poetry in particular which is good at saying these things and mm-hmm. reaching out to people,
yeah.
other than like other art forms or
definitely
anything?
I think for me, I suppose I got into writing and reading poetry quite late, and it's like all these poets that I admire were saying what I was feeling more than I could comprehend myself, and it's almost as though I needed them to tell me this is how you feel, and all of a sudden it all made sense. So I think poetry and the way that people can use language, it just, yeah, it does something in a completely different way to visual art or literature. It just captures something in such a small amount of words sometimes, but it has such incredible gravity with you. And I think it's just really such a beautiful art form. Yeah.
Do you write your poems in mind of sort of, would you rather read them out, or would you rather have someone personally read them in their room and just keep it to themselves?
Interesting. I think up until preparing for doing this, I would much rather people read them in private and me kind of not know that people are paying attention to me, because I guess every poem that you write, you're writing it for yourself. You're not really thinking about, oh, I'm going to read this in front of loads of people, or I'm going to give this to someone. And a lot of the time I'm writing these poems in privacy, and never with the intention that anyone's going to hear them or read them. But now I think the idea that I get to share the way that I feel with people is quite a nice thing. And I feel like, I guess I kind of feel like I'm giving something back to all the poets that have inspired me as well, and given me something to think about. It's like a conversation that you don't realise you're having until all of a sudden you're talking to people about it. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I guess you would never want to have written all your life and never have anyone look at it.
No,
or even
true.
At that stage, yeah. Where some people, choice people,
yeah.
looking at it, were they?
Yeah, or, like every now and again, I'll send poems to certain friends or family who I think would either like it or kind of give me some really good response to it, tell me what they think. And it's nice because you kind of have that really comforting thing of you're sharing something personal with people that you care about. But at the same time, there is still that barrier there between you and your feelings and then that other person, and you're kind of reinterpreting it and then giving it to them, and it's nice to be able to share that with people. Yeah.
And you said that you came to poetry quite late. Was this all tied up in all the myth stories? Was that what made you want to start writing it?
I don't know. I think, I studied English literature at Cardiff University, and I never intended to study poetry, but obviously it's part of the syllabus as well. So I kind of went into it that way, and it was never really a thing back home. Like, people didn't really read or talk about poetry. It wasn't really something that we studied in class that much either. So when I came to uni and I decided to take creative writing classes and start writing poetry, it was a very new experience for me. But then all of a sudden, I just couldn't stop. And I couldn't stop reading it. I kept like reading things online and in the library and then going to more poetry events and hearing people recite these really beautiful pieces of art that I'd never really experienced up until I was maybe 19, 20, before I started really paying attention to poetry. And it just completely changed everything.
What did you think of it before? Was it...
I think, yeah, I didn't understand it. I couldn't really grasp what they were saying. Like, there was so much metaphorical text there that I was reading it. I was just like, but what are they trying to say? And I think it stemmed from this fear of Shakespeare and kind of centuries-old literature and plays and poetry that I just really couldn't fathom. And then all of a sudden, people start explaining it to you, and it's like, I mean, of course, that's what that means. And then you can really start to love it in a way that you didn't realise that you could. Yeah.
I was talking about this to someone before, and the idea of how to... I mean, I definitely felt the same when I was a teenager, and like somehow get everyone to find a way to relax and realise you don't have to understand everything, and you can just sort of let it have an effect on you, whatever it is.
It's like it's okay for you to read it in a different way to somebody else and to take something else from it as well. Because I think for so long it was kind of like, oh, well, if you don't get this from it, you don't understand it. When in reality, things are written in such a variety of interpretations that you can take from it what you need to, and then that's what that poem is to you, and that's all it needs to be.
Yeah. Do you enjoy hearing that someone's taken a completely different view of your poem, or is it a bit...
I think it depends. In some cases, yes. Like, when I write about, like, nature and certain places that I really love, I really like hearing what people think of it, because more often than not, they've never actually been to that place. So they think of it as somewhere else, or it reminds them of somewhere that they've been, and it kind of... I don't know, it's really nice just hearing somebody else take something from it. I think sometimes I have written quite vague like interpretations of certain like myths or like folklore tales that I've heard or read, and people really don't tie them together. And I feel like I need to explain the poem as well, which is interesting, because obviously I'm like, no, it's about this. But also it's a good thing that people are taking something different away from it as well. So
I guess it's what you want them to get and what you want to be flexible.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
Your choice.
Definitely. I would want people to take away from my poems that it's okay to feel certain ways or experience emotions in ways that you may not think are okay. Like, I think a lot of the emotion that I write about in my poem are quite extreme emotions that a lot of people tend to shun or ignore or try and pretend that they don't feel, or criticize certain people for feeling certain ways. And I think being able to write and read about emotion is really important, because it tells you that it's okay. And I think the reason that I write a lot about nature is because it's such a strong emotional outlet that people can digest a lot easier than just writing about really human emotional experiences as well.
And if you... So, like, what is next? Would you want to do a collection? What are you working towards?
Yeah, I think
anything?
So. So a friend of mine, Ollie, who creates music, ambient music, we've been thinking about maybe doing kind of a collaborative CD or EP together of my poetry and his music. He's worked with Lucent Dreaming quite a bit in the past, and some of their poets, and created music to go along with them, inspired by the poems that he hears. So I would really like to do something like that. I would definitely like to put a collection together at some point as well, just to kind of... It's nice to have them all in one place and be able to look at them and think, this is something that I've created, and they're all together, and I guess have more people understand me, I guess, as well. Because I think the one thing about poetry that I like is that it does give you an idea of what someone's identity is, or how they feel about themselves, what they see is beautiful, and it'd be really nice to be able to share that with people at some point, for sure.
Yeah, it can say things that are kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
Just speaking.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Yeah.
And I guess with things like readings, it's quite nice to just know a whole room has just accepted.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What you just said.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of go with it. Like, this is me, there you go. And then to kind of see how people respond to that is really nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely look forward to it.
Great. And if you brought all your poems that you've done into a collection, can you see it working already? Do you, that theme that you follow, would it be a collection very much about myth, as you were saying?
Yeah, I think so. I think because as well, myths tend to inform quite a lot of things that we understand about society today. So obviously at the minute, there's so much around inclusivity and feminism and moving forward, and a lot of myths and folklore stories are kind of teachings or moral lessons as well, kind of like fairy tales are. And by kind of reinterpreting them in a modern voice, like I kind of like to think that I do, it gives people a new way of looking at it and understanding what people have been through and how it affects us today. So it'd be really nice to put them all together and say, you know, this is how we are treating people, and maybe we should maybe stop reliving the past and kind of change. Yeah.
Nice. I'd read that collection.
Yeah. That's good. Good. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, looking forward to your future music.
Yeah.
Music collaborations and maybe future collections.
That's yeah.
If you'd like to read more of Poppy's work, you can find it in Lucent Dreaming magazine and online journal Rig Welter Press. I'm certain there's more brilliant writing to come as well, so I'm going to keep my eye on Poppy, and I reckon you should too. I hope you've enjoyed this episode from the Serin Poetry Festival. The music was composed by Martin White. I'd like to say a big thank you to Serin for having me over the festival weekend. If you'd like to find out more about what went on during the festival, you can visit cardiffpoetryfestival.com.